You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. My subject this morning, God's end time church. God's end time church. Church, we all know from the signs of the time that we are in the last days. Jesus mentions the signs in nature, such as famines and plagues and earthquakes and signs in the heavens. Look at the weather conditions, tsunamis and floods and fires that wipe out entire communities and devastate everything in their path. The Bible mentions the signs in our society or culture, lawlessness, violence, immorality, selfishness, economic and social problems. The Bible says that in the last days that iniquity shall abound. Then there are the negative spiritual signs such as false prophets, cults, humanism, pluralism, and the endorsement of other world religions. The Bible says many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But thank God there are also some positive signs. God says that in the last days there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He said, old men will dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. He said, on your children, your daughters and your sons, he said, they shall prophesy. And Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, to look up, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. But just before the Lord comes for his bride, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The Bible says that the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former temple. I want you to look at, with me at the prophecy given by Isaiah regarding the end time church. Look at Isaiah 61. God said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Look at verse 2, Isaiah 6:2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. A great revival is coming to the church, and God's glory with signs and wonders is going to be poured out. God is going to show up in this nation. And it's important that you understand America's connection with the end time church. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this great nation. Thank you that it was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our forefathers came here looking for freedom. And the word declares, whom the Son shall make free is free indeed. And Lord, this nation was founded upon the gospel. We're here to hear the word, to hear that gospel, to share that gospel. And Lord, we thank you for the promise of a great outpouring in these dark days, that the glory of God is going to arise and set upon his people, and signs and wonders will be done in the name of Jesus. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. God tells us that in the last days, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Then he says there will be scoffers, there will be mockers, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? And the Bible says that iniquity shall abound. And then he promises that the Lord himself shall arise upon his people, and that God's glory shall be seen in these dark days. God has promised the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he says, when it hits, I'm going to send a revival. Hell has enlarged itself, but I'm going to fill heaven with people that have been redeemed by the blood of my Son. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at 2 Peter 3:9 before us. Look at it on your screen now. The Bible, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but as long as some men would count slackness. Some people say, he's not coming, he's not coming. They say, he's slack, he's not going to do it. God is not slack, look at this, but long-suffering to usward. He is talking to his church. He is not talking to the world out there. God is long-suffering to usward, to the church, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The scripture right here that I just quoted is most often used in connection with the loss. But it is actually a warning to the end time church so that the end time church can prepare herself for this last day revival that God is going to send. God is long suffering to the church so that the church's blinded eyes can be opened and that the church can repent. We are in a lukewarm Laodicean church age, and somebody has got to preach what I'm going to preach. God is sending out warnings, and God is saying to his church, trim out everything that is holding you back. Lay aside all the weights and the sins that have come into your life. If people are holding you back, cut them loose. If there's sin in your life, clean it out. Whatever is holding you back, God is saying, cut it loose. See, it's time to clean up because God is raising up a glorious, triumphant, victorious church. The church's brightest days, they are ahead. The scripture is clear. And the Bible says that judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. We come and we sing about it. We talk about it. But do we live it? Are our hearts pure and clean? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. I hold in my hand the way, the truth, and the life, because it talks about God's word, and Jesus is the word. And you cannot violate God's word and make heaven your eternal home. So it's time to clean up, because God is raising up a glorious, triumphant, victorious church. Glory to God. That means that when judgment comes, judgment will begin at the house of the Lord, but it will do one of two things. It will either harden your heart, like it did Pharaoh's heart, or it will cause you to turn back to God with all of your heart. It will cause people to turn back to God with true repentance and godly sorrow for their lax ways and for the sins that they have committed against the word of God. We must get our eyes on Jesus, and we must get our ears tuned to what the Spirit of God is saying and not to the secular news. I get aggravated with the news, but the Bible is very clear on this one point that I'm going to give you right here. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. You can quote it. I'm sure you can. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, my people, and seek my face. And look at this. And turn from their wicked ways. God is talking to the church. He is not talking to people outside the church. God wants to send revival, but God cannot send revival to the church until the church is willing to clean up and cut loose from all the things of this world. God said, if you will turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land. Healing will come to America when the church gets its heart right with God. You know, Brother James Selvidge said this in Sunday school today. He said, when you see what God has done, you had better hold on to it. When you realize what God has done in your life, you had better hold on to the preciousness of what God has given you. God has given us eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. I don't like the state of our nation, but I'm not without hope because God has promised to answer the prayers of his people. And hundreds of thousands of people in America and around the world, they have prayed for the future of America. God has promised that my eyes and my ears will be open to the prayers of my people. Don't tell me that God has forgotten America and that it's all over. No, God will never forget his church. Hallelujah. God has always dealt with his people first, And then God deals with the sin in the world. Before God sent the flood, he dealt with Noah. He dealt with Noah and his family before the judgment came. He did the same thing at Sodom and Gomorrah. Before the rain, the fire rained down and brimstone on Sodom, God dealt with Lot. God dealt with his family first. If you want to understand the character of anything, you've got to go back to the seed. We know that every seed produces after its own kind. And the seed of America came out of the heart of God. And the church, it was planted by the hand of God. God raised this nation up. And God is going to clean up his church. And then he's going to deal with the sin and the iniquity in our culture. The greatness of this nation, it is not our economy, as the news would try to make you think. It is not our military. The greatness of this country is not our political system and the government of this country. Oh, no. The greatness of America is the church. That is what this nation was founded upon, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church was formed out of the heart of God in America. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. You're part of something great when you're in America, because you're part of a nation that was raised up because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and the enemy, he is trying to destroy and divide this nation. Why has the enemy done this? It is because America is tied to God's end time prophetic plan. America was formed out of the greatest missionary quest that the world has ever known. The Puritans came to America looking for religious freedom. They came looking a place where they could worship God, where they could worship the God of the Bible, where they could worship their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They came because they were on a quest. Amen. They endured hardship. Some of them endured death. And yet they carved a nation out of a wilderness. They came because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And out of that quest, God birthed the nation of America. It is the greatest nation that the world has ever known. It is a city set on a hill. It is a light to all the world. And this nation was established on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that distinction right there, it belongs to America and America alone. No other nation can say that they were carved out by the hand of God and established upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on, praise God. You're in America. I don't care how you got here. It doesn't matter where your ancestors came from. You ought to be thankful that you're in the nation of America, and we have religious freedom, and we need to protect those freedoms, and we need to do everything we can. We need to call sin, sin. We need to call it down at every level, and we need to lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, and we need to live according to God's word. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. America was formed out of the greatest missionary quest the world has ever known. Things may look dark in America, but I've got some real good news today. God is still on his throne. And if Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared for 10 righteous people, God has not changed his mind concerning this great nation. The true church in America, it is well and it is alive. And there are signs and wonders in those churches, and people are getting saved in those churches. I tell you, the church is strong. The true church is well, and it is alive. And pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets, they need to arise and shout the wake-up call. Hallelujah. God is preparing the church of America for the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen. God raised up this nation to be a beacon to the world. And God has a principle of sowing and reaping. We teach it all the time. God has a principle that whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. Look at this. Over 85% of missionary dollars come from the church in America. And it's time for America to clean up her act, thrust in the sickle, pray for revival, and gather the end time harvest. Hallelujah. America has sown her seed, and every seed you sow, it produces after its kind. And we have sown the gospel to the nations of the world. We have sown the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And it's time for the preachers in America to take the message outside the wall and to exhort their people to come to church, to get involved in the church, not to look at the signs of the time, not to be concerned about certain things, but to come to church, assemble together with people of like precious faith, and get revival started and going so God can move. God's glory is in his people. Turn him loose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to preach the gospel. We need to depend on the Holy Ghost. And we need to expect revival fire to fall. And because of the gospel, which is preached in America, just because the gospel that has been preached in this nation, America is the only hope for the world today. Are you pushing America? It came out of the heart of God. It's established upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm preaching the gospel, and a lot of people are afraid to do what I'm doing right now. I'm going to trod this morning where some people fear to tread. Hallelujah. But I'm going to preach the word of God. And church, America's job is not over. And the church must stand up and stand out and let her voice be heard. God said it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's God's way and it's by his spirit. Now, our present political system, they're trying to define this nation's values. Have you noticed that? I think you have. I want you to listen to their values. Killing little babies, same-sex marriage, no God in their platform, no Ten Commandments in the schools, no prayers in our schools, no Bibles in our public schools, and don't you dare mention the name of Jesus. God help us. That's their platform, and millions of evangelical Christians voted for that platform. Let me tell you something. God cannot bless what God has already judged as sin in his word. I know that's strong, but it's the truth. The people that voted like that, I love them. I got many brothers and sisters that voted wrong, and it's not their fault. It's the fault of the preachers and the leadership in America that would not stand up and preach the gospel. These people, they need to repent. And we need to pray that God will open their blinded eyes to America's place in God's end time prophecy. This recent election, my friends, it was not about the candidates. It was about two platforms in our belief system in America. Let me say that again. This recent election, it was not about two candidates. It was about two platforms. It was about our belief system in America. How could any born-again Christian vote for a platform that is against their Christian beliefs and that is ungodly? This needs to be preached because the Bible says, be ye doers of the word. Put James 1:22 up there, please. James 1:22. Look at this. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And look at this. Deceiving. James 1:22. Deceiving your own selves. Some people, they have chosen to deceive themselves. They have been dumbed down by racial prejudices, by social prejudices, and by religious spirits. We need to wake up because we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if any man do be not a doer of the word, he deceives his own self. And I'm afraid many people in America have been deceived. If any political party is against the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, if they are anti-God, anti-Christ, and ungodly, no Christian should support that system. See, the church must come together. And the church must come together in holiness. And the church must preach righteousness. And the church must stand against what is going on in our culture. And the church must stand together in unity. Hallelujah. We need preachers that will stand in their pulpits and never back down and warn the people to vote the platform that best represents biblical values. You see, man is a sinner by nature. We were all conceived in sin and iniquity. And we, you know, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sinners sin. It's never been easy to live the gospel in America or anywhere else because of the persecution that will come to you. Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, your Lord and your Master, they will persecute you. Don't tell me not to get involved in politics. You come too late for that. I've read my Bible. King David was king of all Israel. I'm sure he had to put some political things in order. When Jesus came to this earth, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the religious people that put out the laws, and they had scribes that wrote those laws. And when they were getting ready to crucify Jesus, Pilate said, I want to let him go. Behold the man. They said, no, we want you to crucify him. Pilate said, you have a law. Take him and do what you want to do. Don't tell me that I shouldn't be involved in politics. Don't tell me I shouldn't give a clarion call to the church. Don't tell me that God doesn't raise up people to get the sin out of the camp. God told Joshua, he said, Achan has sinned. There's sin in the camp. Quit acting the way you are. Get up. Get up, Joshua. There's sin in the camp. Get it out. And they went and took that man, and they got him out. They took his whole family, his cattle, everything he had. They stoned him to death. I'm not saying stone people to death. I'm saying preach the word of God to them so their eyes can be opened up. They wanted to hide that thing from God, but you can't hide anything from God. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And you cannot support anything that is anti-God, anti-Bible, and have the blessings of God upon you. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Man is a sinner. But our founding fathers, they came to this nation. They faced the same challenges that we face today. But they practiced and they lived what they preached. They lived how? By the principles of God's word. This whole nation's constitution was carved out of the principles that are in God's word. The Bible says, judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. So before the revival can come that God wants to send us, the church must be convicted of sin. Somebody's got to preach the word so their blind eyes open. And then the church must repent of her sin. Jesus talks about the church age we're in. He said it would be a lukewarm Laodicean church. Oh, they'll have a form and a fashion. God said, it makes me sick. I will spew them out of my mouth. They said, we are rich, increased with goods. We have gold and we have need of nothing. And he said, their eyes are blind. And somebody better come along with a message to the end time church and wake them up. Praise God. I know the people in here. I know that you love Jesus, but God put this thing in my heart and it's got to be preached. Hallelujah. I know it's strong what I'm preaching, but it needs to be strong because if anyone in the church endorses any political party that kills little babies and promotes same-sex marriage, that is sin. And both of those are an abomination to God himself. Amen. We're to love those that have been deceived. We're to restore them with a spirit of meekness. But the truth of God's word, it must be preached. And it must be preached with passion and anointing. Amen. Sin must be addressed. And it must be repented of. Look around you today. The wicked seem to be prospering. But let me tell you something. The Bible says when the cup of iniquity is full, they will find themselves contending with God. They will either repent of their sins, the wicked will, or they will be weighed in God's balances and found wanting. You know, there are people in the Bible that touch the honor of God. David faced Goliath, his giant, and he cursed David's God. And God, David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. This day shall he give you into my hand. David went running with a rock and a rag. I'll tell you why he didn't use Saul's armor. It's because he knew that the scripture said that if anyone blasphemes the name of God, they're supposed to be stoned to death. And he took a little rock and a rag and went running at his giant and dropped him. He had touched the honor of God. Sennacherib came in to outside Jerusalem and he told Hezekiah, he said, I've got weapons you've never seen. What makes you think your God can stand against what I've got? That night, one angel went out and slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Sennacherib leaves the battlefield. He goes home, goes into that pagan temple, and his own sons kill him. Don't tell me you touched the honor of God and get away with it. Don't tell me that. Who was the other one in the Old Testament, brother? I know we got Sennacherib, we got Goliath. They touched the honor of God. If we come to the New Testament, we've got Herod. Herod took credit for what God had done. They said he's a god, and he just took all the acclaim, and the worms ate him up. There is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. They put that rainbow on our White House. That rainbow is sacred to God. I tell you who the other one was. It was Belshazzar. He drank liquor and partied and had an orgy right there and took the vessels, the golden vessels that came out of God's temple and desecrated them. And when he did, guess what? A handwriting appeared on the wall and they sent for Daniel. And Daniel told him, you are weighed in God's balances and you have been found wanting. And let me tell you, any party that would take the rainbow and put it on our White House, that rainbow is sacred to God. God put that rainbow in the sky as a covenant saying the earth will never be destroyed by it. That's found in Genesis, the very first chapter. And if you go to Revelation, where Jesus is seated upon the throne, there's a rainbow around that throne. You don't touch the honor of God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is a good God. God is a loving God. But I'll tell you something. When the cup of iniquity is full, God's judgment will fall, and you better believe it. God help us. Sin must be addressed, and sin must be repented of. The wicked system seems to be prospering. But they will either repent, or God's judgment will come. God raised this nation up, church, and the devil despises America. He despises America because of our connection to the end time harvest. But God will work. God said, before the day was, I am he. I will work and none can stop me. Hallelujah. See, God despises the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel, it tries to control people. God despises that because he sent his son to set the captive free. Freedom is a gift from God. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to worship, freedom to assemble. Hallelujah. God gave us those freedoms. God raised this nation up. It was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And America will survive. And the Church of America will survive and it will prevail because America's destiny is tied to the church. I said America's destiny is tied to the church. Glory to God. Look at Matthew 16:18. Part B of it. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, I will build my church. Look at the latter part of it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And look at the next verse. You want to know how strong the true church is? I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, upon this rock, he told Peter, upon the revelation that I am the Christ, he said, I am the Son of God. He said, upon that revelation, let me tell you, God told Peter, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. If you are part of the glorious, triumphant, victorious church, I want to tell you something. Flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. I think we ought to stand and take a praise break because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That we are God inside minded. We are the temple of God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to us. The Holy Ghost convicted us of our sin, and we came out of darkness into the marvelous light so we could praise the King and so we could carry this gospel to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell cannot overcome it. And Jesus said, we have the power to bind and we have the power to loose. So the church never will and never can be destroyed. Now, 85% of missions and evangelism come from the church in America. I like seed time harvest because it's true. Whatever you sow, you reap. If you sow to the flesh, if you sow to corruption, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the word of God, if you do what God has said, you will receive eternal life, life in heaven. Eyes not seen, is not heard. It's not even into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. God raised this place up. It's very clear that God is not going to silence the very instrument that he created as a gift to the world. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Sing it with me. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brothers. Stand and sing it. From sea to shining sea. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea. So it should be very clear, you may be seated, that God is not going to silence the very instrument that he created as a gift to the world. And God will remove any political opposition that is contrary to his plan because Jesus, the Son of the living God, he said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, America has a tremendous prophetic assignment. And it will not be finished until the church is caught up and raptured away. Until that time, America has been given the assignment to stand with Israel. And the true uncompromised church, it is Israel's greatest friend. And this nation is to influence the world that we are to live together in peace with Israel. See, the devil would like to divide the church. And so the church, it must come together in unity. I'm not coming together with someone that wants to kill little babies. I am not coming together with someone that says, I don't endorse same-sex marriage, but I'll vote how I want to. No, you will vote what the Bible says, or you can't stand together with me. I will love you, I will help you, I will talk to you, but I will not stand with you. I'm going to stand on the principles of God's word. And you know, God will forgive anybody. If you voted wrong, praise God, repent. Let God open your eyes. My God. See, God raised this nation up. And the devil would like to divide us. But we got to come together in unity. God wants to pour out his spirit upon the church. But the church needs to focus on what God is doing and not on what the evening news is saying. Let me say that again. We need to focus on the Word of God and what God is doing and not on the evening news. Look at Genesis 12 and 3. This is what God promised Abraham. This was promised to the father of the faith. Genesis 12 and 3. And I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you see that? In you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, there are three sets of people in this world right now in God's end time plan. There are the Jews. You can find it in the Bible. You can find this one, the Gentiles. Peter went to Cornelius' house and the Gentiles got in. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Because we be Gentiles. And then the third group is the church. The church, hallelujah. So the church is the seed of Abraham. How can you say that? If you can find Galatians 3:29, I put it up, but that's not in the notes. The Bible says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what is America's role in God's prophetic calendar? God has promised to bless those that bless Israel. And there is no other nation on the face of this earth that Israel can count on to stand with them except for America. Now, the church is the seed of Abraham. And it's time for the church in America to wake up. Because we have a prophetic assignment on us. The news media, and the liberals, and the left-wingers, and the politicians in the current administration, they would like to convince you that America is hated around the world. They want to talk negative about this great country that God raised up. But what they say, it is not true. People all over America, all over the world rather, they want to come to America, the land of the free, and the home of the brave. And I don't care how you got here. Doesn't matter where your people came from. Mine came from England. Others came from Ireland. Some of them came from Africa. They came from all over the world. We're the melting pot of the world. But if you're here, you ought to thank God that you're here, that you live in a land where there's religious freedom, a land that was carved out of the heart of God by people that love God. America, God shed his grace on thee. Glory to God. I've been to Zambia and Bulgaria and other nations and other places I have visited. They are praying for America. They love America. The liberals want to rewrite our history. They want to redefine our values. But that will not happen. The church has prayed. And the church is praying for this nation. And God will respond to the prayers of his people. He promised to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If God were going to judge America, how could he answer the prayers of millions of people all over the world that are looking to America for hope? We are a beacon, church. See, but the devil has targeted this nation, and you need to know that. He wants to close down our churches. He wants to corrupt our nation from within. He wants to batter her from without. He wants to convince the church that it cannot survive in the present culture. That's a lie hatched in hell, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, America is a part of God's end time plan. And the preachers of America, they must rise up. They must sound the alarm for repentance. And they must call for a revival. Come back to church. Get in the church. Glory to God. We must renew our vows to God. And we must carry the gospel to the ends of this earth. God has blessed America so that America can bless the world. Now, America's not perfect. We have our problems. Drugs, homosexuality, pornography, abortion, alcoholism, violent crime. And this moral decline, it is a result of a spiritual decline. Let me say that again. This moral decline in our nation It is a result of a spiritual decline. The church has been silent far too long concerning the political culture that we live in. So is there hope for America? Yes. And the church holds the keys. We must go back to our roots because the gospel is the foundation on which this nation was built. How can a preacher who is called to be a watchman, to sound the alarm, how can he fail to warn the people about the gross darkness in our political world? See, people can be deceived. I was raised to be a part of a certain party. But when I got into my Bible, I had to change my mind. And nobody had to preach this to me, because I saw from the Word of God that sin must be addressed at every level. The church is the gateway to heaven. And the church should be filled with the life and the anointing and the love of Jesus Christ. And if you love someone, guess what? A preacher that loves you, he will preach the truth to you, because the wages of sin is death. He will preach the truth because righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. The church is the only hope for lost and a dying world. And the church must address political and social issues with the light of the world. We're to be carriers of the light. We're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, it is good for nothing. Jesus gave himself for the church, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And we must stand together, and we must stand against any political party that endorses sin and that wants to change our value system. If we're going to affect the world, the church must come together in unity. America needs the church. The world needs the church. And the church must respond to the prophecy that I used as a text. Look at it again. Isaiah 6:1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now look at verse 2. For behold, here's where we are on God's prophetic calendar. You can like me or you can despise me. It matters not. I'd rather please God than please man. I'd rather preach the truth of God's word if I have to preach it to the walls than to compromise the word of God. We need some people in the church and some preachers that got some spine, and they are not afraid to stand up and preach the truth of God's word. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Do you understand now why America is so messed up? It can all be traced back to the church. The preachers in America, they have been too soft on sin, and they have failed to address political issues. And that is why our nation is in trouble. I've got friends, preacher friends, and I've talked to them and I've told them, preach. Preach the word of God. Warn people. Tell them about the wrath of God that is coming. I don't preach politics. I just preach Jesus. I'm preaching Jesus. I'm preaching the whole counsel of God, because this nation was carved out of the heart of God, where people came here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should never let go of what God has given us. The blood is a gift. The name of Jesus is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And the church is a gift to the world. Hallelujah. We must have preachers like those in our founding fathers' days of this nation who will preach the word of God without compromise. We must preach it in love, but we have to preach the word. We must stand up, and we must stand against any political system that would try to alter and change our biblical values on which this nation was founded and has enjoyed so many freedoms. See, the church in the world, but we're not of the world. We must separate ourselves from the sin of the world. Look at this right here, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Don't endorse those unclean things. Rebuke them. with all long suffering. Rebuke them. Correct them. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, correct, exhort. That's what the book says. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. See, the Bible is very clear. It says repentance must begin at the house of the Lord. We must call sin, sin, and we must stand together in righteousness and holiness. We must oppose anything and everything in the political world around us that is contrary to biblical principles. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So stay close to the church. Jesus is coming back for a glorious, triumphant, victorious church. And America is God's gift to the world, because the gospel, which America was founded upon, it is America's greatest power, and it is the only hope for the world. Thank God for the local church. Give to it. Go to it. Get involved in it. Take your children to it. Take your friends to it. Become a part of it. And work till Jesus come. And do like I do. I do it all the time. Lord, search me, O God. Try me. Help me, God, to be willing to change. Help me, God, to be willing to hear your spirit. Help me, God, and if there's any wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin. Set me free and lead me in the way everlasting. If you'll clean it all up when the master calls, I promise you something. You will be ready to meet him. Let us stand.
All hail King Jesus.
We love you, Lord.
All hail Emmanuel.
Lord, take the words of my mouth,
King,
the meditation of my heart.
Lord,
let it be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and redeemer.
And
throughout eternity,
I'll sing his praises, and forevermore I will reign with him.
I believe everybody in this church right now is saved. I know every one of you. I know your testimony for Jesus, and I know you love the Lord. But I preach the word of God to you. And the church must arise and shine. We've got to shine out for the world. We cannot be a part of the world system and be a part of what God. So if anybody needs to repent, find an altar right where you are. I want to make heaven my eternal home. And America has been given a great responsibility to the world. And the devil hates this country. But Jesus said, I'll build my church. Hallelujah.
All hail Emmanuel.
We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for this great salvation. Thank you for your word,
Lord,
the washing of the water of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to your people. And Lord, before judgment ever comes upon this planet, revival will come to the church and a great outpouring of your spirit to this nation and then to the world. Hallelujah.